Let's stand together. Psalm 105. I'm not going to read all this psalm. We did that on last Wednesday, getting this psalm started. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read a portion of it here tonight, down to where we want to get through. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Listen, verse 16 through 24. That'll be our verses tonight. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly. This is what God did. He increased his people greatly. I love this phrase, and made them stronger than their enemies. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. So look at Psalm 105. I remind you a few things tonight. Psalm 105, we believe, is a psalm of David. And when we look here in Psalm 105, especially the first 15 verses, we find the first half of David's psalm. At the time of the return of the Ark of the Covenant, you can read that in some of the historical books of your King James Bible. And when all of that took place in David's kingdom and his desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into its rightful place. And in fact, you'll find it nearly word for word, these first 15 verses. And so Psalm 105, no doubt, has a special place in David's heart. And this psalm, when you study it out, if we'd read it in its entirety tonight, we really find that it commemorates the faithfulness of God's goodness upon that of the people of Israel. It covers many, many hundreds of years from Abraham, even all the way to the conquest of Canaan, is mentioned in some of the closing verses. And it is just simply magnifying how good God had been to Israel. And it stands tonight to you and I in this generation as the testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness even to you and I tonight. And as we consider this, we understand that in 45 verses is a long psalm, but you can give all the details of every aspect of Israel's history in such a short psalm. Books have been written, Genesis and Exodus, all the way in the books of Joshua and the conquest there. We find that there are many more details that could be added. But what David does in this psalm is he magnifies some of the things that recollect or prompt a recollection in our mind concerning the goodness of God. And so what we find when we look at this psalm, really what David is doing is just making us remember the things God has done, but in doing so, in recollecting these things, he is magnifying the fact that God's hand has been working all along the way. And with that in mind, we want to look at the thought again tonight. This psalm is a history recollecting God's hand, the hand of God in the lives of his people. And our thought that we've lifted as we're preaching through the Psalms, we've now made our way to this and begun it last Wednesday. And the thought that we're dealing with is God's hand in man's history. God's hand in man's history. Psalm 105 really is magnifying that unseen hand of God that has been working all the way back to the days of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. And in the verses that we'll preach from, particularly tonight, verses 16 through 24, in the life of even the man Joseph that had been sent, how God's unseen hand was at work all along the way, in that he was going to bless his people there in the land of Egypt. I'm glad tonight that when it comes to our relationship with God, and my life looking back and even remembering and recollecting my own spiritual journey in life and trying to be a good child of God and a servant of the Lord, I'm thankful tonight that God's hand and his fingerprints are all over my life. And I don't want to blame him for all the bad things and the foolish things I've done, but I'm glad even in, amen, even in those times we learned on last week in studying this psalm, amen, the hand of God is there guarding us and protecting us and, amen, keeping us even from our own silly ways. Amen. And so we see God's hand in man's history. What a psalm this is, especially when we recollect or we'll get to in days to come, Psalm 106, how these psalms are brought together and they're linked together in several ways. But when we look at Psalm 105, we find the history of how God treated his people. We'll look at in weeks to come, Psalm 106 is a history of how God's people treated God. In Psalm 105, we find that it displays and shows God's grace, but Psalm 106 shows man's disgrace and how God was faithful in Psalm 105, but God's people are unfaithful in Psalm 106. How we see that, and God was always there, ready, amen, to help and to bless the people of God. But in Psalm 106, how sinful and iniquitous the people of God could so soon find themselves in, being unfaithful to the God that had been so faithful to them. And so tonight, I'm glad God's hand in our history, amen, when we look at it from God's standpoint, from that unseen dimension tonight, I'm glad God's hand in his goodness, amen, by way of his hand is there in our history. And so what we've done through Psalm 105, as best I can, I've tried to break it down and just showed you some of the things that the Lord, by his hand, has done for Israel, but for you and I by way of application. In verses 1 through 7, the introduction is given. I'll not re-preach all that, but we pick up on this theme of God's hand in man's history, beginning in verse 8 through 11. We find the Lord found them. What God did for Israel was he reached down, went down, and he found them. We began in verse number 8 with, amen, the covenant the Lord has remembered, the word that he commanded to 1,000 generations. And the psalmist David, beginning in the days of Abraham, and the covenant that God made with him in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, and if he would come out from among his own kindred and forsake his land and follow God, God would bless him and take him places Abraham, amen, could only dream of and imagine of. Amen. And all the while, what we're learning is it was the Lord that found Abraham. Amen. It was the Lord that went down to that pagan land that Abraham was living in. A family of idolaters. A family that didn't know anything about God. And it was God that revealed himself to Abraham. Amen. And found him in the midst of all of that mess. Amen. Abram would have lived and lived his life, no telling how many years, and died and gone to hell. Amen. Had it not been for God's hand in Abram's history, amen, having found him when and where God found him. Amen. And we all have a story tonight, if you're numbered of the family of God, of when God found you. I'm glad tonight somebody said, well, I found God. Amen. God wasn't the one lost. Amen. We're the one that was lost. We, amen, we're in our sin. Maybe, amen, maybe on the other side of town. Maybe my friend in a drunkard's home. Or maybe, amen, living a life of an evil, idolatrous person. Maybe, amen, you're lost on a Baptist church pew. It don't matter where you was. Amen. But we can all say tonight and give thanks to the Lord and bless his name. Amen. For his hand in our history in the day that he found us. Amen. Think about where you could be tonight had God not come to where you was. Amen. Had God not found us when and where he found us. Amen. How different your life could look. How, amen, drastically worse your life could be in tonight. Amen. But thank God, I'm glad that he found me. I'm glad that he came to where I was. Amen. And the Lord found them and the Lord found me. And then we said a word about that last week, but we felt led to kind of park on point number two. Amen. And that is the Lord fenced them. The Lord fenced them. By that we mean he raised a hedge up about them. In verses 12 through 15, we're now well in the way of the days of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Amen. The Bible says that, amen, that there was a time when they were very, very small. And there was a time when they were strangers. And then he deals with the fact, amen, if you don't like this word, just overlook it. I think it makes the point. Amen. But he deals with, in verses number 14 and 15, amen, that there was a time when they were very stupid. Amen. Very silly in the way that they were thinking. Amen. We see that in verse 12, that when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. Amen. They were simply going from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. Amen. And so they're small and they're strangers. They don't fit in. Amen. And all these enemies around them could do them in. He speaks of the fact that he reproved kings for their sakes and would suffer no man to do them wrong. And we no doubt and made a connection on last week to the time when Abram decided to go down to Egypt. And the lie that he concocted and the deception that he practiced in the midst of the Egyptians and nearly allowed his own wife to be taken into an immoral relationship with the king of Egypt. But it was God that intervened. It was the Lord that stepped in. And it was the Lord that rebuked the king of Egypt and said, you're not going to do this. And I dealt with his heart and God's intervention, God fencing in that relationship of Abram and Sarai. Amen. How God was working all along. Amen. And I'm glad tonight. I don't want to bog down on it too much, but I'm glad in the silly times of my life. Amen. Times when I'm not leaning on God in the faith that I want to lean on that. Amen. We all have times where, amen, and I won't use the, amen, the word everybody maybe doesn't like to hear, silliness. Amen. Sinful times of our life. Amen. I'm glad that God still has his hand in my life. Amen. I'm glad about that tonight. You think about where you'd be. Amen. Not only the fact that he found you, but had he left you to your own ways. Amen. Had he not dealt with you when you was in sin? Amen. When you had strayed and veered off, if he had just took his hand off and out of your life. Amen. Think about how far off course you'd be tonight. Amen. But God, in spite of our sinfulness, said, amen, in spite of our silly decisions, I'm glad his hand is still in my life. Amen. And he works in spite of me to make sure, amen, I don't destroy myself. I got news for you. You ain't as big and bad and spiritual as you'd want all of us in the building to think you are. Amen. You're here tonight because, amen, not because you made every decision right. Amen. Not because, my friend, you ain't ever made a mistake. Amen. But because along the way when you did, God's hand, amen, was in your life and he would suffer no man. He'd suffer no devil. Amen. He'd suffer not even yourself to allow you to, amen, destroy and shipwreck your own life. Amen. Oh, I could preach there a while again tonight. I feel it. I got to hurry on. Amen. The Lord found them. The Lord fenced them. Now, verse 16 through 24 for the next, amen, for the next 14 minutes. Let me give this to you. Amen. The Lord, I want to say the Lord favored them. He not only found them and fenced them, but this psalm magnifies that at God's hand in man's history, the history of his people, is that the Lord favors his own. Amen. Now where we come to in verses 16 through 24 is the days in particular of Joseph. We've come through this history of man, the history of Israel, God's hand being in that. We've seen them in the land of the earth, the Chaldees. We've seen them wandering around. Amen. And all that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the places they found themselves, to now we find that Israel, the people of God, by way of the hand of God and the life of Joseph, are going to find themselves in Egypt's land. They're going to be, according to the text tonight, they're going to live in the midst of their enemies. They're going to live in the midst of a bunch of heathens. Amen. And yet, notice what verse number 24 said, and he increased his people greatly. And then the Bible said this, and made them stronger than their enemies. But Jerry, they're in the midst of their enemies. They're in the midst of that nation that, amen, there is no true God there. They are idolatrous. They are pagan. They are heathen. They are wicked. They are anti everything that is righteous. And yet by the hand of God, they're in the midst of all of that. Amen. And you would think that, amen, just a ragtag little bunch of folk would not be able to survive. Amen. But there's a divine miracle that's going on behind the scene. Amen. And we call it the favor of Almighty God. Amen. That though they're living in the midst of all of that mess, amen, the psalmist said, let me tell you what God did. Amen. God increased his people greatly. Amen. That is, the more they worked and the more they labored and the more the hand of God was able to bless them, amen, they were blessed. Amen. And amen, they showed up. Amen. No doubt in comparison to all the nation of Egypt, amen, they were weak and Egypt was strong. But what God did in their days there in Egypt is that God made them stronger than their enemies. I want to say tonight that is the will of God. Amen. That in the world in which we live, amen, now Israel was in Egypt, but they were not of Egypt. Amen. They're of a holier seed, a heavenlier seed. Amen. They're of the seed of Abraham, the seed of God. Amen. But can I remind you tonight? Amen. Though they were not of Egypt, they were in Egypt. God reached down in Egypt's land, amen, and began to strengthen and bless his own. Amen. Somebody said, boy, this world's strong and the pull of the world is strong. Yeah. And this world that we're in, it is great. Amen. But I want to tell you today, amen, if you've been found in God's fence in your life, amen, there is a favor of God that ought to be upon that life. Amen. Whereby we are increasing greatly. Amen. We are experiencing the blessings of God upon our life. Amen. And we're seeing God make us stronger than our enemies.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be honest with you, and I may take a couple minutes longer than 15. I just felt like, amen, dropping the plow right here just a moment. Amen, I'm getting so sick of our generation of Christianity, amen, that makes our enemies so mighty and strong. Amen. And I know they're bullies. And I know they come against us. And I know that, amen, they are great and they are strong. But, amen, if you've been saved a while tonight, amen, listen, God's desire and design is that, amen, he would grow us and increase us, amen, and make us stronger than our enemies. Let me say this, they were not made stronger than their enemies because they learned how to be stronger than their enemies. The Bible said, don't you miss it, Jesse, and don't you ever forget it, he made them. Somebody said, boy, it looks like Israel's growing down there on the, amen, the Goshen side of Egypt. Amen, it looks like they're getting stronger and stronger all the time. Amen, somebody said, can you explain that, Joseph? Amen, he just has to say, it's the Lord that made us this way. Amen, it's God working in our midst. It's the Lord that is favoring us. It ain't us. It ain't our own strength. It ain't our own spirituality. It is the Lord that has made us stronger than our enemies. Amen. I'm glad I got a God that's stronger than my enemies and shares his strength. And through him, we can do all things. That is why over and over in the Psalms and all the saints of the Word of God that have been able to testify, amen, are able to say, the Lord is my strength. Amen, he's my strength. Amen, and so through his strength, we are able, amen, by his favor, to be made stronger than our enemies. Amen. So you can't blame the devil when you do something silly. Amen. Amen. Because there is available to every child of God, by his gracious favor, merciful favor, amen, strength to make you stronger than your enemies. Paul would say in the New Testament, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As so long as you're operating in your own strength and your own might and your own power, amen, your enemy's always going to be over you. Amen. But when you get robed in the armor of God, amen, you're walking in the Holy Ghost. Thank God you may have for understanding and the power and the strength of Almighty God. Amen. Here's what God's favor does. It makes you stronger than your enemies. Amen. That's right. Y'all, I don't know if that's making any sense. Y'all at least do this if it ain't, so I can move off this point, long as you stand there going, amen, I don't think you're getting it. I got to say it another way. Amen. Do you understand what that phrase means? He made them stronger than their enemies. Amen. Well, I tell you, this old world we're living in is so rough and hard and tough and tumble, and I just don't even know how I'm going to make it. You pitiful Christian. You sad excuse of a saint of God. Amen.
Amen. Where is the child of God that is tapped into something? Amen. That is out of this world that, amen, the world can look on in amazement and go, out in the world they seem stronger than we are. Amen. They have hardship. They have bills. They have difficulties. They have sicknesses. They have all the same things. They go through all the same things we do, but they do it stronger than we do.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I may have come back and preach this. Amen. He made them stronger than his enemies. Amen. I'm glad there is a thing of the favor of God. Let me say number one about this favor. I see the place of God's favor. It was in the land of Egypt. It was there, verse 23, Israel also came into Egypt and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Amen. Egypt was the greatest power, world power of that day and of that generation. All of a sudden, here comes, amen, a young man who, amen, was sold into slavery. I'll say more about that in a moment. Amen, you know all the ways the Lord promoted him, introduced him to Pharaoh, and how he is promoted by the king of Egypt. Amen, all of a sudden now, amen, he's got 11 brothers and a daddy that shows up in the land, and their families are there. Amen. And they show up and they're still relatively a small crowd. I know God had already blessed them. I know God had already been good to them. Amen. But there they are compared to Egypt. They're the minority. They are outnumbered. They're outnumbered. Amen. 10 to 1,000s. Amen. And there they are in the land, and it's in Egypt, amen, that God begins to favor them. Again, we're not of this world. We are in it. Amen. And this is the realm in which we are living, and this is the place, amen, where God has desired and designed for his favor to be upon our life. Amen. So I'm just waiting until we get to heaven, and I can't wait to get to heaven, but I intend on trying to enjoy the favor of God till I get there. Amen. In this world, amen, we're going to have tribulation, but here's the favor of God. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Right now, tonight, while we're here, amen, there is favor that abounds in our heart. Amen. The joy and the peace and the rest and the salvation. Amen. The glory and the grace and every spiritual blessing that we could, amen, possibly imagine we're blessed with right now. Amen. While we live in this place called this world. I know it's wicked, but that's where we need the favor of God. Amen. The place of God's favor. Notice with me tonight, let me say a word about the providence in his favor. Somebody say, well, why would God bestow his favor on any of us anyhow? And don't label me now. Y'all know if I had a drop of Calvinist blood in my body, I'd cut my pinky off and amen, or go down to the dialysis center and get my blood filtered out and say, take that out of there. Are y'all listening? Ain't no Calvinist, but you know your pastor believes in the providence of Almighty God. He is a sovereign God that sees the end from the beginning. And not only sees the end from the beginning, but is orchestrating his will in your life. Somebody say amen. Say, how do you know that? Amen. Notice what verse number 16 said. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Who called for it? God did. God sent the scarcity. God sent the hunger. God sent the bad, poor, weak crops. Amen. God withheld the rain. Are y'all getting that? Amen. It was the Lord that not only saw that it was coming, it was the Lord in his providence amen, then orchestrated and designed and brought to pass a famine upon the land. Amen. And so I have this in mind tonight. Amen. That in His providence, amen, God, you've got to understand the providence in His favor, because we see favor when everything's going well. But according to this, it is even in the bad times that God's providence should still be recognized. Amen. God help us now. Some of us, when we're in the scarce times, in the hunger times, in the famine times, and the blessings of rain are not falling down in abundance on us, we go to grumbling and complain that, all the while not even recognizing what we're grumbling against is the providence of God. Somebody help me now. God's providence, the providence in His favor. Hey, He is the one that called for a famine. But notice, I love verse number 17. In light of that, He sent a man before them, even Joseph. And so in His providence, He not only called for a famine, but He sent a man before them. Amen. We're years before the famine is going to strike. Amen. We are years away from that time. Amen. You remember, amen, the dreams that God had given to Joseph as a young man. He shared that with his family. Yet, amen. It didn't seem like any of that would ever even come to pass. Amen. But if it was going to come to pass, God had to call for a famine, and God had to send Joseph all the way down to Egypt so that, amen, years down the road, Brother Jack, the favor of God could fall on the people of the Lord. Amen. And so God not only called and orchestrated in His providence, He knew how to get the man that was going to be their deliverer, their savior, amen, the one that was going to have the wisdom in which to get them through the time of famine and come out on the other side stronger than their enemies. The providence in His favor, God is not only orchestrating it, but right now you may be in a famine and need the favor of God in your life. Understand, God is already at work in our lives. Jacob didn't see it at that point, Brother A.L. Them brothers of Joseph had no idea. They thought they were just getting to exercise their hatred, their vitriol, their whatever you want to call it, against their brother. They thought, we're getting rid of the, amen, we're getting rid of this little pest. Amen, we're getting rid of it. But little did they know, amen, what Joseph would testify years later. Amen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. The providence of God's favor in our life. Amen. Understand whether it's good or it's bad. Amen. God is in control. God knows what He's doing. Amen. God is working right now tonight in your life. Amen. So you say that like you mean it. You say it like you believe it. Amen. I absolutely believe every day of my life, my God is providentially in control and working. I'm not saying I always, amen, I'm living in the peace that ought to bring. Amen. But I believe it tonight while I'm a preacher. I may wake up in the morning, Brother Larry, and be out of my ever-loving mind. But right now while I'm preaching to you, telling you God is working in your life. Quit grumbling, put a smile on your face, and look up into heaven and say, God, I trust you. Yes, sir. Brings me to my closing point. It's where I really want to depart, the process to God's favor. There is a process that God puts Joseph through that leads to God's favor being in his life. Amen. When we say favor, we understand, amen, the ultimate goal of bringing them to a place where his people increase greatly and become stronger than their enemies. You don't get it overnight.
God will put you through a process. Everybody wants favor, but nobody wants to go through the process, because I'm going to show you, number one, it involves pain. It involves pain. The Bible said, moreover, verse number 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. You say, preacher, what do you mean pain? Amen. The pain of betrayal. The pain of being bound. The pain of being put into bondage. Amen. The pains that Joseph would encounter along his journey. Amen. From his brethren to the Ishmaelites to, amen, looking like, man, everything's turning around and he's blessed in Potiphar's house, only to be led on and thrown into prison again. Amen. Forgotten, and all the things that he faced that hurt his body, that hurt his heart, amen, that hurt his spirit. Joseph had to go through some pain in the process to attain, amen, the ultimate favor of God. If you're going to grow in strength and increase and be productive and powerful, you mark it down tonight. God's hand in your life, in your history, is going to involve God allowing you to face pain.
Amen.
I was telling you, they betrayed me. They betrayed me. Grow up. They hurt my feelings. They lied to me. What if all of that is the process God is you? I'm not justifying people lying on you, betraying you, not being what they ought to be. But what if that is God's providence in your life, the process, all that pain that he's using to make you stronger than your enemies? You're not belly aching and griping and running down the people that hurt you. You're grumbling against the process God puts us all through. And it involves pain. Amen. Whoa, hallelujah. That's good preaching, Pastor. Pain, the process to God's favor, involves pain. You're going to be shackled. Notice the Bible said, whose feet they hurt with fetters. Somebody going to hurt your walk one of these days. Amen. You know, in the record of the life of Joseph, all the pain that he went through, Joseph never, we never have a recorded word where he grumbled and complained. He submitted himself to the process of God. Pain. Then notice with me verse number 19. I got to hurry. Purification. The Bible said here in verse number 19, until the time that his word came. Now, I believe that has reference to his early days when God gave him the dream. That he was going to be over his brethren, that they were going to bow down to him, that God had put a dream in his heart. God had given his word by way of a dream to the heart and to the life of this young man named Joseph. But it didn't come overnight. The word was not, the word, the promise was not latched hold of, fastened to overnight. He's going through the process. That process involved pain, but it involves purification. For notice what the Bible said. The word of the Lord tried him. That word he got as a young man that he believed. That he was mocked for believing, that he was betrayed for believing, that, amen, all that he encountered because he attached his life to the Word of God. The Bible said, amen, through all the pain that he was going through, amen, the process involved not just useless pain, but pain that the Word of the Lord would try him along the way. There were days Joseph probably thought, it don't look like the word of the Lord is so.
But then the moment he thought that, the word of the Lord said, I'm so. And he stayed faithful to God. And every step along the way, the word of the Lord was trying him. It was purifying him. It was putting him in places where he was going to have to exercise faith in the word God had given him. That's why through all the betrayals and all that he'd gone through and then all the temptations of Potiphar's wife, he could look at that old hag and say, I will not do this. I will not sin against my God and against my master and retain his own integrity. Why? Because the word of the Lord was trying him. Amen. That is a term for the refiner's fire. That, amen. He was being refined. God was purifying him. You say, oh, I got to say it tonight. But Jack, if we got God's favor upon our life before we was purified, do you realize what a dangerous place that would put you in spiritually? Yeah, I want the favor of God. I want to increase. I want to be productive and powerful, stronger than my enemies. Well, listen, God has to put us all through a process of purification. Because if he gave you heaven's gifts and blessings in that degree and you wasn't pure, oh man, you would make an absolute wreck out of your life. Amen. It involves pain, purification. Let me say it involved promotion. Verse number 20, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. My thought here is simple. You say promotion. Boy, now we're talking preacher promotion. That's what I'm interested in. What I would draw your attention to is that Joseph allowed another to promote him. He did not promote himself. A lot of times I'm afraid we shortcut the favor of God in our life because we're too hasty to promote ourselves. Everybody look at me. Rather than letting others do the promoting, letting God lay it on somebody else's heart to do the promotion. Yes, sir. Amen. Social media has killed a generation in that. Amen. The look at me generation. And there's a lot of good about this generation coming on the scene. But this generation, buddy, is the look at me generation. Bunch of duck face. You wasn't born a duck. Quit trying to pose as one. Gotta get the right angle. What is all that? It's self-promotion. Self-promotion. Amen. I'm trying to learn. I ain't got there yet, but I'm gonna tell you, I'm thankful for how God has allowed others to promote me. I tried it one time. I got to quit. I'll never forget. I think I've shared this with y'all. God had saved me and called me to preach, and I went to Bible college. And buddy, I tell you, Brother Mike, I thought, man, the church is going to be blessed. And I live 3.5-4 hours from where mom and dad was in that area. Of course, dad had let me preach, but I got thinking, man, I need somebody else to let me preach instead of my daddy. And I called this preacher that me and Miss Kate went to school with some of his kids and had been to his church for some meetings and different things. And I called him. I said, I just want to let you know I'm a preacher. God called me to preach, and I'm in Bible college, and I come home every now and then. And if you ever, amen, if you ever want to use me to preach, I'd be glad to preach. Now, in my mind, the way I had played that thing out, Brother Jack, was that man was going to say, thank you for calling me, young man, and let me get my calendar, and let's schedule it right now. That ain't what happened. All I got was silence on the other end.
Brother Joe, I listened for a minute, and that old wise man of God gave me the mild rebuke I needed. He said, young man, he said, I got all kinds of young preachers in my church. And if I ever feel led of God to let you come preach, I'll call you. Have a good day. And he hung up on me. You say, oh, that's terrible. It's exactly what a young punk little preacher needed. To be embarrassed. To be have a wiser man say, in the way that he done it, you let God promote you. You let God put somebody on your heart. You let God be the one that pushed you out. I'm telling you, when I hung that phone, when I picked the phone up, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. When I hung that phone up in that foyer, that dorm, but Jack, you could have held me in the palm of your hand. I felt so small. The Holy Ghost struck me that day and said, don't you ever pick the phone up again and call and ask for an opportunity to preach. You do what I told you to do. You walk this process, and when it's time, I'll put you out there and I'll be the one that promotes you.
Amen.
And I've had the privilege to preach some places some men will never, ever get to preach. So how'd you do that? I just let God lay it on others' heart to make the promotion.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I didn't have to, I didn't have to come out with Jeff Ledbetter Ministries Incorporated. Amen. Amen. I could call some names out tonight. Amen. Make me throw up. All it's about is self-promotion. Look at me. We wonder why there's very little favor of God being poured out upon His people anymore. Amen. And then it involves prudence. Verse 21 and 22. When Joseph got the favor of God on his life, when it come out and he's increased and he's getting stronger, Bible talks about the wisdom that he was able to exercise. And I say tonight, God wants to put some wisdom in us so when He blesses us, we'll know what to do with it and be effective in the ministry or the service or to live the life that He has for us to live. Amen. I'm glad the Lord found me. I'm glad the Lord has fenced me. I'm glad the Lord has favored me. I look to other ways and look forward to other ways He's going to favor, amen, my life, my family, our church. Your life, I look forward to that. I love watching. I love experiencing God's favor on my life. I love, as a child of God, watching God bless other people. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, God's hand in man's history.